Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Golf Show with Golf Guys. I say welcome back because it's been a long winter. Sammy, I know you're happy to be here. We're going to be swinging the stick soon, but now we get to talk about guys who are doing it. I say this like I haven't talked to you all winter, but how you doing, bud?
I'm doing very well. The seasons are changing here. Daylight savings time, right? That's the one that goes ahead, daylight savings?
I don't know. I just know it screws me both ways because I'm a parent now.
Yeah, well, the greatest day of the year is when it goes ahead to when it's starting to be like light after 7 o'clock, and that's when I truly know that summer is right around the corner and golf season's right around the corner. The big tournaments are starting. We had the Arnold Palmer last week. We just had a wonderful Players' Championship that we're going to get into. But yeah, man, I'm happy to be back. Going to be a little different this year, maybe not on the radio, but doing pods intermittently around the big tourneys, keeping our golf show chops going, keeping this baby alive, so we're ready to rock.
Yeah, there's no way we were going to let Golf Show die. As you mentioned, won't be on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan this year, although, you know, if you hear me and you talk, I'm sure we'll be talking some golf. And of course, we couldn't allow that to happen to Golf Show host emeritus, Scott Metcalf. We would never, ever let his baby die. So I don't think when they started this 30 years ago, they were ready for pods or even understanding what that was. He probably thought it would be something I'd be living in, not talking on. But just as always. And I know you agree with this. What better way to start off another year of the Golf Show than just giving a quick shout out to him? So
absolutely
happy we could keep this baby trucking for us and for all of you listening. But let's be honest, just as much for him.
Absolutely. Shout out, Scotty. I hope you're listening. You probably won't, but maybe you will. Who knows?
Yeah, he gets his hands into everything in the golf world, so yeah. I'm sure it'll make its way across his desk eventually. What made its way across my desk was a lot of watching of the Players' Championship this weekend. Let's just get right into it. Scottie Scheffler going back-to-back in terms of weeks and going back-to-back in terms of Players' Championships. First guy in the 50-year history to defend his title. Man, what a win for Scheffler. I won't lead the witness any more than that, buddy. What'd you think?
That was, that's a surprising stat to me that no one had done it back-to-back. I think that...
Can I give you one more stat like that? Courtesy, and I say this on the morning show all the time, so I'll get it in here as well. Unless otherwise noted, presume all stats come from Justin Ray in the World of Golf. Shout out to him at The Athletic. So there had not been a case of guys finishing first and second with the same guy winning and the same guy finishing second going back to 1960, and it was Arnold Palmer who won both those times.
Wow.
So pretty fitting that Scheffler picks up the first win at the Arnold Palmer, and he pulled an Arnold Palmer. I don't know if he drank an Arnold Palmer or what was going on to celebrate, although maybe that is right up his alley, but I thought that was just an awesome stat. Had to share it.
So that is an excellent stat. I was watching that tournament yesterday, and I was just obviously enthralled like everybody else. But, you know, I couldn't help but think about, you know, the sort of the state of professional golf. Because, as you know, there's been a ton of conversation at the start of this season about the lack of sort of star power in some of these tournaments with people that have won. Right? We're looking at, you know, the Aaron Eckroats of the world. We're looking at the Jake Knapps of the world winning some of these tournaments. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, you could go back to Metsuyama winning at, when he won at Riviera. That's a big name. Wyndham Clark, of course, won the first elevated event, but that was cut short. But I think it's been a big conversation about, like, is it the fields watered down? Is it, you know, and I think I was kind of getting into that conversation and feeling it. But the last 2 weeks, to me, really just illustrated that it's just back to normal and that we're heading into the best part of the season here with those two tournaments, heading towards the Masters, of course, heading towards sort of major season, and that I'm not really worrying about the fields as much. And now that we're getting into the big ones, because I was worried at the start of the year, because, you know, you and I both remember a couple years ago, the start of the season where it just like every tournament was ram packed with big names. The leaderboards were unbelievable. And it just didn't feel like it had that cachet. So for me to have the two big ones, have Arnold Palmer's tourney and then go down to the Players and have both of them be Scottie Scheffler and have big names in the running the whole way, it was big for golf, and it kind of feels like the PGA is back after a slow start.
Yeah, you know, for so often it felt like the kind of true welcome back to golf was when you had your Hawaii swing and the guys are out there and you're watching night golf. But then you kind of have the real time where it's Riviera and you're expecting, all right, get back in the swing. It's Sunday afternoon, no football to watch, my butt's on the couch and I'm watching golf. And no offense to Jake Knapp, who, like, you know, we have to love him.
Sick.
He's a hockey
arms.
Fan.
Oh, my God. Sickest great. Arms on tour by far.
Okay. Okay, I won't tell. Well, I was about to say Bryson, but he's no longer on tour.
He's
and I won't
on the
tell
live
our
tour.
Man, I won't tell our man Tiger that you said that, because that is somewhere he can still compete with these boys. But yeah, you're right. Like, you had to be feeling it in a big way. And man, like, part of it was the weather, but even go to that first elevated event that Wyndham Clark wins. I don't know. That didn't feel like, ooh, Wyndham Clark just stamped home his U.S. Open title by winning a big event. It certainly didn't feel that way. So to have it, and it wasn't just the names, right? We've had names before, and it's a bit of a pillow fight. These guys were playing some golf, and part of it is that Scheffler posted the number and made them all go chase it. But yeah, it was really nice to kind of have that feel of everybody being back, because, you know, I mean, we know everything that's happened with Liv, and it's just, it did feel like, ooh, maybe you were seeing the effects of it. And not to say there won't be other weeks where you'll probably feel that a little bit. There will be, but there's also going to be plenty of weeks like we had Sunday at TPC, where it's just special guys doing special things.
I will say, you know my thoughts on Liv, and everybody, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, I can't believe, first of all, they played this weekend.
Just side note, could you imagine a guy listening to this pod being like, no, what do you guys think about Liv? I haven't heard.
I think it's absurd they played this weekend. Like, I truly can't believe. But I will say, no Rom at the Players is, like, shocking, right? Like, you just think of, you know, he got paid handsomely. He got that Shohei Ohtani money to go to the Liv Tour. So he's
not even deferred.
He's very, yeah. Actually, he didn't get. He got way more money than Ohtani, who gets $1 a year until he retires. But I just, I thought that, I thought of John Rahm, where he is one of the more fiery competitors, and he's one of the guys that gets up for this tournament, and he has had great moments at the tournament. And it's just, to me, to not have him there, that was the first time. Like, because, you know, there's other guys clearly, like, Cam Smith won the Players. What year was it? Was it 2019 or 2020 or 2021?
No, 2019, Rory won it. But yeah, you're correct. Right. He did win it.
Like, around that area, he had won the Players. Not having him there, I get it. But just not to have Rom at these two tourneys, specifically the Players, but of course at Bay Hill as well, just very weird. And he would be the only guy that I'm really kind of missing. And I'm looking forward to getting into the Masters, getting into major season to have him be there. Because, like, you know, true serum time. I don't think he, you know, I think he would love to be there, and the $700 million is great, but, like, you know, it can't buy you battling with Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele and Wyndham Clark down the stretch at TPC. And hey, one day Liv maybe will get there after 10 or 15 years of legitimizing it or whatever, but it's just too new for it to be within the realm. So yeah, I felt for John Rahm yesterday.
Man, it's crazy.
Well, I didn't feel for him. That's wrong. He's extremely rich, but I'm sure he was feeling it a bit.
No, it's funny. I had that as the last bullet point here, but we will start there. I'm with you. I think he, in that moment, hey, I'm sure there are plenty other moments you catch him in the week, and he goes, no, I'll keep the money. It's good.
But you catch him. Good.
You catch him in that moment there, and the real answer that he gave about joining Liv, the one before they paid him money and he changed his tune on all those things, it still holds true that that's what these guys play for, that there's no material difference in his life now. I don't know, maybe five generations from now, the Rom great-great-great-great-grandkids are like, oh, thank God he took the money. This is so good. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you, Grandpa Rombo. But that's not happening right now, and it's not changing his life materially one way or another. Is it weird that he's the only one? Like, I know he's head and shoulders above every other guy who left, but I don't, and, you know, like, I'm not going to say I never think about Cam Smith, but I don't find myself missing him for a second. Koepka, I think of him when it's major season. Yeah. So, okay, he's not there. I don't think about it. It's astonishing, given the names that they did poach and the guys that they were able to take, that Rom is the only guy, to me, who feels like he's missing there when I'm watching on TV.
I mean, their sacrifice, to me, is for our gain in terms of when these majors come around. And you get to have the Liv versus PGA. And that's just, like, such an added juicy storyline. I think it was much juicier when years gone past, where I think the temperature has cooled big time in terms of what people think and what people. So like, it just feels like it's just another thing that was super hot at the start, and then a year goes by and it's not talked about nearly as much as it used to be. But I thought Liv had a moment at the start of the year where the PGA tours were sucking, and we had that one like nighttime. That nighttime playoff where Sergio is playing under the light of the big greasy Liv board, and they had a playoff, and like I was watching, and it felt like it had a bit of momentum, but then as soon as the tournaments got good, it just got completely sapped. So
yeah,
we don't have to spend the whole time talking about the battle between the tours, but I had to say that I did miss Rom yesterday. I did feel it.
I agree. Look at us. Kumbaya on our first golf show of the year. Found something to agree on that we love John Rahm. Oh, it was something we agreed on the whole time. I'm with you there. The moment that they also had, I know you don't care about this, but it's like they got Anthony Kim. It's like the sideshow element of it all, kind of leaning into it. But, and I know this point's been made.
Anthony Kim, he robbed him blind. Guy can't play. I mean, he shot a 65. Good for him. But he's like plus 10 in every tournament. He can't play.
Oh, I know. It's remarkable. Hey, good piece of business on him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the money guy is loving things. I do wonder if, and I know part of it is like it's what they're selling is that it's different. But I was thinking about the finish that you got there. Imagine if, you know, Scheffler does what he does and posts the number. And then it's like, all right, here's Wyndham Clark on the very famous 12th hole, trying to putt to win because it's a shotgun start, and he started on 13. Like, I know they go out of their way to try to put guys who have the best chances in a spot to finish up on 18 or a marquee hole, but that was the other thing. It's something that always irked me, and it came to roost in a positive way for the tour yesterday.
Like I said, I do think there's a chance that if they stick with this long enough, if they don't care about wasting money long enough, the PIF, that there's a chance that it legitimizes itself in, you know, 5 to 10 years. Nothing happens overnight, but right now they're just getting, I can't believe they played this weekend.
It's nuts.
Why would you put, well, that's such a stupid thing to do it against the players. Like, play against the 3M championship or the John Deere or whatever. Like, don't play against this. It's absurd. Anyways.
Yeah. No, I totally echo everything you said there. All right. Good. Look at us. We got my last question checked off the box, and we managed to talk about Liv without screaming at each other. Wow. We're genuinely on fire here. All right. Scheffler, I have a way to launch into this that I think I wonder if you'll agree with about this here is, you know, I suppose other people will point to it and say, oh, I don't know. The Masters win was the one that did that for me. That win pulled me into Scottie Scheffler's camp a little bit. For a guy who I have felt very little emotion watching play, you know, if I bet on him, I'm happy to see him win, but otherwise I have no dog in the fight. I don't dislike him. I don't like him. I find myself rooting against him more often than not, but that's just because he's so good.
Drama.
I want the tournaments. I want the tournaments to stay tight.
Yeah.
That win made me care about him. It showed me a little
yesterday?
Something. Like just the whole weekend at large. Just gutting through it. He looked like he was going to throw up at times when he was walking around. Like, I know he said he just had a cranked neck, but I wonder if he's feeling so good in the guts as well, because he just looked like he had kind of sick face going on all weekend long. I was texting you some of the post-round interviews he's giving. He sounds like peak Tiger, but not peak of his prime Tiger. Peak trying to get it done well injured Tiger, talking about, it hurt to chip a little bit, but I found my way around out there. That pulled me into his camp and really made me care about him a little bit. I'm sure if it's push come to shove against, you know, another stud, I'll find a way to, you know, root for that guy as opposed to Scheffler still. But I couldn't believe how much it kind of almost like humanized him to a certain extent this weekend.
I thought it was a really gritty performance. I think more so getting through the Friday round, right, where it first popped up.
Yeah.
And he still just got through that round. I think he shot 68 on the Friday with his neck killing him, which is ridiculous. And then, you know, to go through the Saturday, but to go out there on Sunday and post a 64, that's just, you know, that's kind of Tiger stuff where you go out there, you post a huge number, and guys start to look at it, and they're like, oh, God, look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. They start to feel it. And he's getting to that point now where all we ever talked about with Scottie Scheffler was if his putting is average in the field, he's going to win everything. And lo and behold, I think he was right in the middle of putting for a lot of this weekend. And I mean, I think he was amazing on Sunday at Bay Hill. I don't have the number in front of me, but like now that this is kind of happening, I really do feel like we're about to get a ridiculous season. Like this, like he was in the top five, top 10 of everything, and he couldn't putt, Gunner. Now he's putting okay, and that's all it ever needed to be. I just think there's few guys I've enjoyed watching play golf as much as I watch. He's clearly not the most electrifying personality. Like, he's never going to be that. He's a guy, he's not like, you know, jumping around out there. He's not huge fist pumps. Like, he'll show a bit of emotion, but it's not the same as, you know, our beloved Tiger, clearly.
God, no.
But, like, the way he's up on one foot and shaping the ball and his short game and everything around the green and just how, like, it's ridiculous his driving yesterday. Just in clutch situations, just pumping it right down the middle, like making it look easy, shooting a 64 to win the Players. Like, we are in a rarefied air, and it's good for golf to have a guy like this. We need a dominant personality. We need this kind of stuff in golf, and it feels like he's about to win six tourneys and a couple majors. Like, I really don't feel like every time he suits up, who's going to beat him if he's putting okay?
I love you for being such, and you're not even wrong. Like, I want to be clear. It sounds like a shot, but it's not. I love you for being such a prisoner of the moment, because the very next thing I had written down in my notes was, will Scotty be a victim of his own success in that anything short of two majors this year feels like he's left stuff on the table? Like, I was talking to Stanley about this on morning show early on in the Players Week, and we were talking about it. If he wins a major every other year until he's 40, he'll be Phil Mickelson. Okay. Yeah. That's if he wins one every other year. And we would all sit here and say, oh, that he left too much food on the table. You had to take care of it when you're hot. It is amazing how much a victim of his own success he's kind of setting up. Because you and I, we do it after every single major. I pull up all the guys and we have our how many majors will each guy win. Like, we have all the notes there. And it feels like every single time you see him have a performance like that, it feels like the floor should be 10. And nobody gets 10. Like, it's ridiculous. I really do think there's a world where he kind of becomes a victim of his own success and Tiger's success and us forgetting how hard golf is. Like, think about the tones we talk about Koepka in. Think about the way we talk about the start of Rory's career. They've got five and four. Like, it's nuts. It's nuts to think what he has to do to get there and how lofty the expectations, like, rightfully so, are for him.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think that he only has one. Because
that's the crazy. Every time Ben kept saying it on morning show, and I had to double check and triple check because it's right, but it sounds so wrong.
But I mean, he's been in the conversation every single year. Like, he's last year he was tied for second in the PGA Championship. He was right there in the U.S. Open 2022. Remember with battling with Fitzpatrick when he won it. So I don't know. I feel like there's definitely some prisoner of the moment stuff with him, and like he. But I also think that he's just by far the best guy. And whenever he tees it up at a big tournament, he's going to be right there. And it comes down to a couple putts dropping or not dropping. Like, I really would set the over-under for majors this year at 1.5. And I would lean to the over. Like, I really do feel like maybe not the Masters. I don't know. I have to kind of dive into it. But like, he's going to be by far betting favorite at every single major that he goes into this year. And I wouldn't hate betting against him in any of them. Like, you're just always going to be in it with him. He'll be there no matter what. Like, on Saturday, he's a few strokes back. He's going to put something together and he's going to be right in the conversation. He'll be right near the final pairings. Like, I don't know if there's prisoner of the moment stuff or he's just by far the best guy and he's going to be there every week because of his putting being slightly figured out. Not even fully figured out. Like, if he ever became like a top 20 putter, like, he actually would win every tournament. So, I don't know.
Scottie Scheffler's putting is like how we talk about goaltenders in hockey. Like, it should just be called putting. I don't even know why they do anything before they get to the green. And you're right. Like, we see runs like this from guys. My thing isn't can he do it or anything along those lines. Obviously, he's doing it in spades. I just want to see how long this can go for. Because Tiger was a freak of nature and it went for, you know, decade plus. Nobody's that. Again, I reference Rory. He had the amazing run. Look at Jordan Spieth. He was the magic man. And when was the last time he did something of consequence, right? Like, guys just go on these runs.
He made so many birdies this weekend.
I know.
Was it like 26 birdies? And he was like, it's absurd how many birdies he made.
Yeah, all-time keeper of the Psycho scorecards this weekend for Rory McIlroy, not Royal, certainly not until he wins a major. Oh, once he wins a major, I might just have to dub him that again. Should he ever get another one? All right, we talked about Scheffler, talked about how much his own success is going to maybe make the goalposts pretty hard for him to reach. Wyndham Clark. Not that the goalposts are moving on him, but this is like an old Andrew.
Can I give you one before we move on from Scotty Scheffler? I was pulling this up as you were bringing up Wyndham Clark.
Go for it.
He, since 2022, this is from Kyle Porter.
Oh, this is great. I love all of these.
51 starts, 9 wins, 3 missed cuts, 34 top 10s, 22 top 3s, Gunner. 22. Oh, 5 major top 10s, 123 rounds in the 60s, 540 under par, and $46.3 million earned.
Is that good? Oh, my God. That is what a run. Like, that is incredible. It really does put in perspective.
It blows your mind how good at golf Scotty Scheffler is. Like, you cannot comprehend how good he is. So, okay, I just wanted to bring that up.
No, I got one more that I was trying to find before I went to Wyndham Clark, and I couldn't, but you talking allowed me the time to find
perfect.
It. This is how highly thought of Scotty Scheffler is right now. His odds on a particular sports book to win 2+ majors this year. The next shortest odds are 14-1, and that's Rory McIlroy. Scotty Scheffler
is... just give me money if you want to bet on that one.
No, I'm good. Even I will not be doing that. Scotty Scheffler, to win 2 majors this year, is +600.
That is
the level of respect he's getting from books right now.
That's an obscene number. They're just dying for you to bet that. They're like, you saw him win 2 tournaments in a row. They're like, give me your money. But it's not a terrible bet. It really is not a terrible bet, which is absurd. Anyways, we can move on to Wyndham now.
Career Grand Slam, the career Grand Slam in 1 year, that would be 66,000 or 6,600 to 1.
So he has to win
all 4 majors. No, sorry. To win the 4 majors this year, like the Tiger Slam.
Okay. I think I'm getting a little crazy here.
Yeah, I think that one's probably safe. Okay. Wyndham Clark. What does it mean that he's been in the mix twice and lost to Scotty Scheffler? I mean, I know it means he's a lot richer. I also know it means he's like a lot sadder in the immediate moment than if he would have won those tournaments. But anytime a guy, and comes out of nowhere is too strong a term. That's not the case, but nobody had him checked
for sure.
Nobody had him checked off as a major winner in waiting. And anytime a guy wins one like that, that we weren't all waiting for, we weren't all expecting, I'm always curious of how they're going to respond to that and how we're going to respond to that. You know, there are guys that have been in those positions before and, all right, good on you. See you never. There are also guys that have done what Wyndham Clark's done, and they've kind of used it as a springboard here. You know, I don't normally pat guys on the back for losing golf tournaments in back-to-back weeks, but I can't say all the good things about Scheffler and then act like it's an easy guy to beat. So I think for Clark, it was important for him to kind of hammer home last season's major with a strong year this year. And that's not to say he needs to pick up a bunch of wins, but he needs to just prove he's a guy out there. Like, he is a person that matters on the tour. I think it's pretty safe to say that after the win last year, obviously, but stamping it home with 2 nice finishes so far this year as well, and the win earlier.
Yeah, to me, he's definitely vaulted himself into official guy status, into official guy territory, where, you know, I actually really like watching him play. Guy mashes the ball. Bit of bomb and gouge. Just like
your boy Jeff? Pardon? Is that why your buddy Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Shout out Jeffy. He loves him. But, like, I will say that for me, guys who show emotion, I'm always drawn to it. Yep. And this guy wears his heart on his sleeve. And I just really – and, I mean, it does help that he looks exactly like Shorzy. He honestly, Jared Kiso, is that the actor's name, Jared Kiso, right?
I will take your word for it.
I think it's Jared Kiso, as I quickly Googled that. But yeah, he looks so much like him, so I'm just always expecting him to say, like, set the tone while he's on the first tee or something.
He looks like he would.
Confirmed he does, it is Jared Kiso. There's just something about him that I've actually really come to like, and apparently he's had some, I haven't watched a new Netflix thing.
I haven't either.
I mean, I got told too many times what the cut was last year, and I was like, this obviously is not for me. So I think I'm going to pass on this. I just like watching the golf tournaments. I don't need to be told how they work. Anyways, I really have enjoyed his sort of rise And I think he's got a really fun game. And listen, he shot 65 2 days in a row to vault himself into a 5-stroke lead going into the weekend. And it's hard to keep that up. I know that's a really hot take here, but like, he played fine on the weekend. He wasn't awful on the weekend. And, you know, I think if there's one moment from yesterday's round that he'll look back on outside of one of the most horrific lip outs you'll ever see in that situation, it's truly mind-numbing. And boy, I wouldn't have minded a three-hole aggregate playoff between him and Scottie Scheffler at 16, 17, 18. Boy, that would have been...
Scheffler might have died if they asked him to do that.
That would have been extremely enjoyable. I just think that the putt on 16 for eagle that he had, that he just missed, to me was like the moment of the tournament, because then he only has to birdie one of the last two holes.
Yeah.
And just since we're on podcast only, a monster you-know-what birdie that he makes on 17 to get there. I just think he's got a fun game, and he's proved to me that he's a real guy with a major win. I know he won an elevator event that didn't have a fourth round because of wind or whatever. But like you said, in the last week, right in it again this week, heading into the Masters, I'm sure he'll be in the top five when it comes to betting favorites. He's a guy, and people seem to have opinions on him. They don't like him as much. Or I guess maybe if you watch the Netflix that comes out. But to me, he's a guy, and I like watching him play. So there.
Yeah, I'm there with you as well. No, I'm there with you as well. I looked it up. I forgot what his record was at the Ryder Cup. Obviously, you win a major, you're going to launch yourself into that. 1-1-1, like, held his own on a U.S. team that was fighting with each other when they weren't fighting the Euros. So I just like having another guy in the mix, you know. And I got to say, if you're going to tell me I have to watch one winner from last year's majors, and it doesn't get to be the guys we think of there, it's got to be Clark or Harmon. I'm going to take Wyndham Clark a thousand times out of a thousand. Bye. There. I do laugh at Brian Harmon's Megacorp hat and his putter that looks like it's the same size as him. Well, yeah, it looks like I have a bagel cutter upstairs, and it honestly, it roughly is like the size of that. It's insane how big that putter is that he uses. It's just a slog watching him play.
I can't stand the waggle. Oh my god, bud. It drives me insane. The waggle.
It's tough though, because like he's really good. Famous one though.
Yeah, and it's not the same. It's the,
no, I know. I just like it, I hear waggle and I'm like, don't you dare.
How many times you gotta look at it? How many times do you have to look? Just pick one of those times, shave two lookups off, and hit the ball, man. And he's not going to – and the only problem is, clearly, they have kids in the broadcast who have been loving. But he's obviously boys with Harmon.
For sure. And he's apologizing left, right, and center.
He will not criticize him. I'm like, come on, kids. Like, make a funny joke about how many times he waggles the damn club. Can you please chirp him a bit? But, yeah, I can't stand watching him play. I actively root against him hard every time. And having him in the mix again, I was like, no, not again.
No, not like
this. I'm
not
doing another Harmon season. God, he won the last major of the year last year, going away, completely ruined it. I'm like, oh, not doing another season of Harmon, bud.
Please no. You mentioned the Kisner on the broadcast. I've loved him there. They had him stop by with Smiley Kaufman right beside the players, or the 17th hole at the players there. They've been doing this now when it's like a famous hole. They'll have like the players broadcast on Friday. Yeah. I have loved it. Keith Mitchell was just hanging out there for hours. They're making fun of his. If you were watching the broadcast as a casual, you would wonder why a man was named Cashmere by his parents. They were just calling him Cashmere. They're like, Cashmere, why don't you explain this one? They made him walk through they made him walk through the all-time blunder of hitting it into the lake right before the horn sounded at last year's players.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
he
about
was
that.
He was hugging Sung J.M. on the broadcast. It was amazing. Just more of this, and we talk about this in all sports. When you find authentically good personalities and the guys like them, just let them do their thing. Yep. They might cross a line here or there. Who cares? I know it's golf. A lot of people care, but don't.
Kiz
just let them
the
have some fun.
He's the perfect guy. And like he really, and the thing is, the one thing that I notice with him, and it's clearly a crutch, is that he's such a great putter. And he's saying, I don't know how many times he said it yesterday, he's like, this isn't that difficult of a putt. I'm like, kids, it's clearly a very difficult putt. You're obviously an excellent putter. That was like his whole career. He was one of the better putters. and he's just like, this isn't that difficult of a putt. Like, he had Harmon, like, it was that the Wyndham Clark to tie the Players Championship for Eagle off the back of the green. He's like, this isn't that difficult of a putt. I'm like, come on, kids, it is difficult.
Yeah, he needs to do the Brad Faxon thing, who, like, Brad Faxon is this putting guru who's out there on the greens working with everybody. You never hear him say that. It's like, he's got to pull him aside.
But he's also not like Brad Faxon. He's also got a bit more personality than all the Fax.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, we got to be like, hey, I know it's easy for us, but it doesn't mean it is for them. Yeah. I have, you know, you and I have long been Kiz guys. And the good news for him is I don't think there'll be as many drunk yahoos screaming, it ain't no hobby, when he's in the broadcast, as opposed to walking between the ropes. Last one for me before I let you go. I'd love to set you up, especially to be a little angry or, you know, take pleasure in others' misfortune, I guess is maybe the better way to put at it. Your man, you think you like making fun of Rory not winning majors. Xander Schauffele does it again. I don't know how anyone else thought that would end differently. I'm not even like the chief love to make fun of Xander for being in this spot all the time guy, but man, it's getting pretty jarring.
The two back-to-back bogeys on the back nine, which are, you know, really tough. I know 14's a tough hole.
Yep.
But like, you know, that's, if you're going to win the Players Championship, you can't make two bogeys in a row on the back nine. That's just something you really can't do.
No.
And then
I always say that.
That's
the new saying.
To hit that shot on 17 and then just to overread it, like just putt, like it's a clear overread, hits it too soft. It's just and then hits it in the pine straw on 18. It's just a Xander moment. And to me, like he's won some tournaments and he's come from behind. Right, like I think all of his wins have come from like four or five from behind, and it's like maybe that's where he needs to win. But when he's in the lead like that, you never really feel like it's going to happen. And boy, I said pretty early, I'm like, this kind of feel like this is going to be another Xander thing. He was amazing on Saturday. He played so well on Saturday. He was pouring everything in, hitting darts. He was so good. And just as important as it is to have really clutch good players. For me, it's just as important to have guys that are this kind of figure as well. Like, I know it's sad for them, but you kind of need to have it too. So I'm sorry, buddy, but that was a tough one for Xander. It's hard to say that he didn't blow that. It was his tournament to win. A couple putts down the stretch, you know, that's what he needed, and he just didn't get it.
Okay. The answer is a little bit of both, but what's more true? That's just Schauffele being Schauffele, or the ghost of Scheffler putting up that 20 under got to him?
I think a little of both. I really do. Like, the 20 under, it's crazy that Kiz said that early in the day, too. I don't know if you heard him say that.
I didn't.
But
I missed
that. Like, I think it was on the second or third hole.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you just got to put the pedal down, get this baby to 20 under and see what happens. I'm like, wow, Kiz, looking back on that, that's really bang on. But, how do you not look up at the board and see that Scheffler's leading? And even if you tie him, you're like, well, I got to go beat this guy on three straight holes. Like, it's all a mental game. It's in the back of your mind. So, tough one.
Sorry. Before we go, I know everyone in the world has had their cracks on this. We talked about the electricity that was Cashmere Keith joining Kisner and Smiley Kaufman at the Players Only broadcast or whatever it is they call it on Fridays. They need to give our man Johnson Wagner an Emmy yesterday.
Oh, my God.
For his performance on the Thursday of the Players. You know, I don't know how, like, Emmys work for TV if, like, you can get something for that early. Just give it to him now.
It's like nobody in the Hall of Fame early. Just do it.
Honestly, nobody in sport is putting up a better performance than him, just as everyone has so perfectly stated, hucking fastballs at the side of the hill. Said he needed to. The only way it would have been better is if when they went back to him the next day, he had like the cartoonish arm ice pack, like you'll see pitchers wrapped up in. That's the only way it could have been any better. Yeah. Just great job leaning into the fun. Golf has been way too stuffy for too long, and I'm so, so happy that we, I don't even know that they knew it was going to be that fun. I think they thought they were doing real, like, capital J journalism over there, but sometimes journalism can be fun too, because that was electric television.
Yeah, and I didn't even really bring up that situation with you because, you know, I thought Rory did it fine, and if those two other guys are being a little hard on him, but you know, I thought what happened was the right result, and it was completely moot because none of those three guys were even close to winning. So there you go.
Yeah, if you got a problem with that, you better take that up with our man, old and young, Tom Morris, and whoever wrote the rules of golf, because hey, we all have questions about them. Our Canadian men. You know, Connor's had himself in the mix for moments. Taylor had his moments. Just keep getting your shots. Keep having yourself in the hunt. It's what you need to do. But yeah, not the week for any of them, despite our dalliances with Nick Taylor early in the week.
Yeah, baby. He tough one. Was that the Saturday that he really it really went bad for him?
Apart.
Didn't go well. Anyways,
hey, it's golf, Connor, man.
It's good to be back, bud. I enjoyed this thoroughly.
Yeah, I did too. So we will be popping up periodically here. You'll definitely hear from us before the Masters with a nice Masters preview. And well, if anything happens that piques our interest, we'll pop up then. This has been The Golf Show. Keep on listening. Listen to it, well, wherever you got this pod. It's The Golf Show with Frank Gunning and Sam McKee.